Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is a chilly 28 degrees with light and icy snow here in upstate New York. Looks like we could have a potential for a little tiny bit of ice storm. So I guess we'll see. So where do we leave off last week, someday, whenever the last time I was allowed to be here? We titled the show Wi-Fi, 5G, Millimeter Wave, Brains, Kids, Gadgets, Dopamine, and the Machine. And it was a good one. We dug into a lot of different things that we've looked at before, but there was some definite evidence that has been coming out of the woodwork showing that these devices that we are addicted to because of that dopamine button that they push. And that dopamine button is a dangling carrot that motivates us to do lots of things that they want us to do. And all those different frequencies that they are spewing into the air are for all kinds of different things that'll be able to control all these new Internet of Things gadgets. You know, it's telling you how the stuff is becoming mainstream now. I saw two PigMind videos over the last 3 days on CRISPR. And we're not talking like some professor sitting up there talking about CRISPR. We're talking about some guy in a little pullover sweater who's sitting on CBS Morning News talking all about the wonders of CRISPR and how wonderful medicine is going to be in the 21st George Jetson century. This weekend, I was driving out to the outback, through the woods, over the river, to grandmother's house we go, and there's a billboard, you know, one of those little country roads, and there's a billboard, and it's for the local hospital, which has now probably gotten some high-end fiber connection back to the big hospital in Rochester or in Buffalo. Where, of course, they put all their 21st century investments. But this little hospital now in the local area in the woods is advertising. Guess what? We now have the precision medicine cure for cancer. Yes, they do, even in the woods. Precision medicine has moved in. Nanobots in your blood. Legions of nanobots to deliver cancer cures. And there's all kinds of them now. We're literally talking legions of nanobots. So where are we going to continue today? I mean, we've looked at so many disturbing things over the last few weeks, and I'm sorry that since the holidays, I've had a really rough time just trying to juggle all these obligations that I have with other people, and people needing things, and people begging me. It's just, you know, there's only so much to go around. So it's been kind of hard, and now my computers don't like the cold. I think that's what it is. Once it gets below 10 degrees, they just start having issues holding the page up because they're trying to stick their hands in their armpits to stay warm. Anyway, I had a story queued up here. We're going to look at DARPA, but where the hell did it go? See, here's the problem now. Everything has decided to go on slow-mo mode, so I just gotta move slow. Hold on one moment. So I don't see that story closed, so it's gotta be here somewhere. Anyway, all right, so over the last few days, we've been looking at the brain and ways to manipulate the brain and different frequencies and things that frequencies do to the brain. Modulations. I mean, the brain is the next bastion that they're gonna try to crack. Be able to suck your thoughts remotely, lie detector test just by micro expressions on your face, sending messages between two people just by thought. We've looked at those stories already. Read the minds and share our thoughts without ever lifting a finger. You know, they had that machine that could suck those thoughts out of your head too and read your dreams and implant memories. I mean, we're at a point now where we never thought we would be. I mean, this was like every science fiction junkie's wet dream, and we literally are at that point now for real. And that's what scares me, 'cause there are people that are just so into this stuff that they don't think of the consequences, or all they want to do is become George Jetson world, like that's going to fix anything. The one thing over and over again that I keep hearing now, when they're asking about CRISPR on these mainstream interviews, it always comes up, you can change life on the fly now and reprogram life, but isn't that dangerous? And they're like, with every good comes the bad. We just got to make sure that we keep control of this stuff. Come on. Guys, we are talking across the board, disruptive technologies to the nth power. They've gotten to the point now, every single day, something is being created that's going to turn the world on its head. We should be very concerned about that. The law of exponential returns is now about ready to bite us in the ass, and none of this has caught up yet. But it's all coming. 2017 is going to be the year that the nanobots were launched on the unsuspecting public. And I know you might want to laugh, but that's about really what's going to happen. Legions of nanobots to cure cancer. That's how they're selling it. They will deliver the chemotherapy payload or the synthetic, whatever the newfangled synthetic drug is that they've created. And they're going to set those nanobots free. Let them go find your tumors and deliver that payload. And then what happens after that? Well, hopefully they dissolve or don't accumulate in your liver, which is where we discovered a long time ago nano particulates accumulate. We found that in autopsies, tends to be any of the organs that are going to flush out your toxins. But regardless, don't worry about it. Remember, the NDAA of 2017 just got passed right before Christmas with $611 billion with a B dollars allocated for the Department of Defense. And the week before that, we had the 21st Century Cures Act get inked with another, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was $6.3 billion on top of that. And that's the bill, the new law, that has neurological surveillance built into it and all kinds of kitschy things. Let's get rid of that FDA. Pesky, pesky. Throw them out of the way. They stand in the way of all these life-saving cures. And Big Pharma is ready to try them all on you and Nana in the name of trying to save you. Yeah. Be aware that their motivations is not about saving Nana. None of them are. Motivations are about making $1 bazillion in the next 3 years. By 2020, we're all going to be billionaires. So, a story comes out of Scientific American last night. Just knowing that $611 billion was approved, this NDAA 2017, all for the military. DARPA being the secretive arm of the military moonshots project. We could do things that never were proven. We are the 21st Century Cures Act, but on the QT. DARPA's biotech chief says 2017 will, quote, blow our minds, unquote. Now, guys, this is in Scientific American, and this is DARPA's BTO office, dude. Like the one, that office that they formed a couple years ago that'll allow them to have an office where they can merge biology and technology. Yeah, that one. The one that's creating microbes to terraform Mars. Yeah, that one. Well, their leader says in 2017, it's going to blow our minds. Now, I warned you, 2017 seems to be the year that they are about ready to let all the tech go. 21st Century Cures Act has passed. Nanobots in everybody's blood to make you part of the Internet of Everything. This is frightening, people. This is frightening, and this is only the beginning, remember. The Pentagon's Research Division is betting its high-risk, high-reward programs will change medicine. The Pentagon's Research and Development Division, more affectionately known as DARPA, the creative force behind the internet and the GPS. Oh, yes, Johnny here. Feel comfortable with DARPA. Look, they created the internet and the GPS. They're not creating monster robots that kill people. No. They retooled themselves 3 years ago to create a new office dedicated to unraveling biology's engineering secrets. This new biological technologies office has a mission to, quote, harness the power of biological systems, unquote, and, of course, design new defense technology. Now, remember, I mentioned this before, anything and everything that DARPA ever does is for warfare. Their job is to create weapons that kill, maim, and destroy. That's what they do. So anybody that says, oh, it's so wonderful looking, technology, we can zippity zap, elect RX program, cure, putting on transcranial stimulation, I don't know. And it all came out of DARPA. You know, people tend to think this is all being done to cure Nana's Alzheimer's. Guys, it's not. It's all being done to figure out how to manipulate and control biological systems, all in the name of warfare. You know, the fact that you become a willing guinea pig after this technology rolls out commercially, and they already got all the back-end strings, neurological surveillance, don't forget. Seriously, there's a whole section about neurological surveillance in the 21st Century Cures Act that got passed. DARPA. I don't know where I left off. All right, here. Over the past year, with a budget of $296 million, it has been exploring challenges, including what? Oh, yes, memory improvement, human-machine symbiosis, and speeding up disease and detection response. Remember, those are the biosensors. DARPA is hoping for some big returns. And the director of its biological technology office, neuroprosthetic researcher Justin Sanchez, recently spoke with Scientific American about what to expect from his office in 2017. Including, and we've read already a couple stories about this, all these new neural implants to help healthy people in their everyday lives, and other advances that he say will, quote, change the game in medicine, i.e. disruptive technologies. All right, we're going to do a little bit of this transcript because I think it is important that we get a glimpse into the mind of the guy who is running DARPA's biological technology office. I really wish that they had recorded this, but that's okay. You guys could have bloody ears for a little while listening to my voice. Before your office was created in April of 2014, and we covered that when that office was released, DARPA had already worked on some biological projects, including research on combating antibiotic resistance, as well as mental health interventions. What's changed with the creation of this new office? And what's interesting about that is, if you remember, Obama came out with an executive order in regards to antibiotic resistance. And that was right around the time that Ebola was rolling out, and we had all the big debate as to whether or not forced quarantine was acceptable. When that Carrie, whatever her name, came back from Africa in New Jersey and they put her into quarantine. I know because I wrote a story on it. And they were having a big problem because there were no cures. And we had all of these people We're getting things such as E. coli. Remember Chipotle? Chipotle had all these really suspicious E. coli outbreaks all over the place after they had announced they were going to go GMO free. Remember that? Like all the restaurants, oh no, another massive E. coli outbreak at Chipotle. Wink. And right on the heels of all of that, Obama came out, yeah, antibiotic resistance. We just give too many antibiotics to everybody. We're going to rein back on medications. You know, we've been overprescribing them. It's all our fault. We screwed you people up. So we're just not going to give you medications anymore. You know, those antibiotics, don't worry about it. You can't die from an infection. Wink. Now, just so you know, and I don't want to get too far off the topic here, but at least for topical applications of antibiotics, you used to be able to get animal antibiotics. Now you need a prescription for those as well. They tamp down and all that. They're clamping down on medications. And you know what? When shit hits the fan, all this stuff's going to be really hard to get. And especially as now our medical health system moves into the 21st century, where it's going to be an iris scan and a DNA swab to get your health care. There's not going to be anything out there for those of us who do not want to participate. So just be aware for topical applications, and I don't claim to be a doctor. I just play one on TV. But I do experiment on me and my family, and they do so willingly. Two things that we found that help a lot with injury or illness. One is that 30 parts per million silver, colloidal silver. They have it on Amazon or wherever. Usually you cannot find it in the drugstore. Though over the summer, I did find, it was Cure-Aid, had a tube of silver salve, if you can believe it, at a little podunk CVS out in the woods somewhere. So I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? They got silver salve. So I just got it just to get it, to put it in my medicine cabinet. But the silver in the bottle, liquid, has many, many uses. Any type of wounds, give it a good soaking. Anytime you're starting to feel like you're getting some sort of upper respiratory or not feeling too well, give yourself a couple squirts under the tongue. Silver has been used in hospitals to kill MRSA, any type of skin irritation or infection, little blisters, pussy, whatever. Spray the shit out of them. And do it for a couple days and keep an eye on it. And usually it'll go away. But another one that I discovered a long time ago, and this one really is like my silver bullet, is raw honey. Raw honey, they use on burn patients. I don't know if you knew that. If you have really bad burns, they will coat their whole bodies. I don't know. I've never seen a picture, but I've read stories. They coat their burns with raw honey. And the honey has a local bacteria in it. That's why it's always better to get raw local honey, because it's bacteria that you have been exposed to. But it is an antifungal, antibacterial, anti-infection. It kills MRSA. It helps skin heal. I'm telling you, honey is pretty amazing for a sore throat or an upper respiratory. Put a big dollop into your cup, make some ginger tea or whatever with that honey. Any type of wounds or big, nasty, painful, infected thing, take a Q-tip. Don't double dip. Stick it in that jar, swab, swab, put it on. Get another Q-tip if you need some more. Don't double dip it like a chip, because that's gross. And put the honey in. But all I'm saying, and I don't know, this is my Monday. I'm still kind of trying to wake up here. But all I'm saying is that antibiotic resistance executive order was a big deal, because they cut it off at the legs. Hey, you know what? The doctors have been giving them away for colds that don't get affected by antibiotics for a long time. And now we have all these animals with antibiotics in the meat. You've been eating them, you've been drinking them in the milk. We got glyphosate. If you remember, we looked at that as well. It really wasn't all about overprescribing antibiotics, because glyphosate is also a potent antibiotic. We found out from Dr. Huber. And as you ingest glyphosate, it kills all of your beneficial gut bacteria, just like an antibiotic would, allows the bad bacteria to move in. and starts screwing up your systems and allowing you to get sick. Guys, it's all related. It kills all of the soil bacteria and allows the bad stuff to move in. It damages the animals. So I guess what I'm pointing out, though, is the fact that problem, reaction, solution, they tend to pick problems and then create a narrative around what started the problem and then come up with their own solutions. In this case, it was antibiotic resistance. So let's cut off prescribing the majority of antibiotics, or hey, all those old traditional ones that worked forever, we're going to tell you they don't work anymore. We're going to give you all these new Generation 3 and Generation 4 synthetic drugs that, oh, I don't know, lots of people have reactions to. And, oh, Jewel almost had a stroke. My doctor literally said that to me. Oh, my God, why did you keep taking it? It sounds like you're about ready to have a stroke. I'm like, are you kidding me? People like me who are sensitive to medications, and I've always been, I have to be really careful. And it's usually only half a dose, because it's way too strong for me. They almost killed me in the hospital. I was in there having my daughter with that spinal tap crap. They were giving me full dose, and it was going all the way up to my nose, and I was forgetting you got to breathe. Or keep your eyes open or talk or whatever. I mean, I was almost a goner there. But, you know, they have all these new synthetic drugs. I just saw, too, DARPA's got a whole drug production factory in a little tiny room, a little tiny machine. We'll be able to pump them out. Pharmacy on demand. There it is. Yeah, maybe we'll look at this one later. Little mini drug factories to make sure we just keep pumping them out. All right. Oh, goodness. Goodness, goodness. This morning is a challenge, guys. I'm just like playing bumper cars here. Oh, with my tabs. All right. So let's get into this interview. I know I got off on a tangent, but I'll stop that now. Before your office was created in April of 2014, DARPA had already worked on some biological projects, including research on combating antibiotic resistance and mental health interventions. And don't worry about it. That new guy that shot all those passengers at the baggage claim down in, I don't remember what city it was, Tampa, Orlando. I don't know. It was down in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, I think. Over the weekend was military, and he'd been to see mental health people, and he had a concealed carry. And oh my God, how did this happen? Oh, we better stop monitoring. Oh, well, don't worry about it, because it's all in the 21st Century Cures Act. There was an entire mental health provision in there. Hey, let's use our newly passed laws and use this big, overly pumped event to push our narrative now as to why we're going to clamp down on everybody's guns and use this new health care provision to do it. Yeah, I see it happening. It's coming. Well, what has changed with the creation of your office there now, Mr. Biological Technology? Well, we had been doing a lot of biological work, he says, at the interface of biology and engineering for many years. But it was scattered all throughout our offices. And so, with our office, there was a recognition that biological technologies were going to play such a crucial role in not only shaping where our country was going, but also the threats to our country, right? Remember, CRISPR has been distinguished as a WMD now. And, of course, we needed a focused, comprehensive effort going forward. Well, I'm particularly intrigued by the BTO's hope to develop programmable microbes to produce needed medications on the fly, which is something that we've talked about. Little bacteria in your gut that can sense and detect when something is not operating within parameters, and on the fly, bzoop, spit out some fresh-made medication inside of your gut to fix your problems. Hey, I know it sounds crazy, but guess what? God, they've been working on that for a while. Anyway, creating programmable microbes to produce needed medications on the fly, which is an effort to sidestep concerns about stockpiling the right drugs in the case of an emergency. What was that called? That was called the PPP, starts with a P. Oh, Project BioShield. That was launched by Bush. And it was loaded with experimental drugs. Well, now we don't need to worry about that. They program these little microbes, put them in you, boop, boop. They can create stuff on the fly, whatever we tell them to. So anyway, sidestep stockpiling concerns with drugs or worrying about complex transport logistics. Where's that work going right now? Well, hey, we talked about this one too. This program is called Living Foundries. Hey, that good old Living Foundries. Like a foundry where we would build something that's alive. Traditionally, we use chemistry to make new compounds and new drugs, but recently we've realized that microbes like yeast and bacteria can also produce compounds, and we can program them to make those compounds by first understanding the chemical pathways that they use. Take yeast, for example. Yeast uses sugar for a variety of pathways to produce alcohol. And if you reprogram those pathways, however, you could potentially build a yeast that could make a different variety of compounds that they weren't initially designed to make. And we could still use the same feed, like sugar. Our teams designed genetic codes that would be needed to reprogram the yeast. And that's such a different idea about how to revolutionize the way we build compounds. Yeah, let's just change this genetic code and make it into something completely different on the fly. I mean, guys, we're talking mad science off the rails now is where we're at for 2017. And every mad scientist has his eyebrow raised and his hands together, and they're rubbing them so hard that the skin is peeling off. 2017 is the year that humanity and life on Earth becomes the Tower of Babel. It's when CRISPRing the TARDIS becomes commonplace, and it's going to be the treatment du jour at all the cancer hospitals. And Nana and Aunt Bessie and Susie Q are all going to get a chance to step right up for this. All these little hospitals, even in the hills, are running with precision medicine billboards for 2017. I couldn't even believe it. Precision medicine is here. That's what it said. And I was like, oh, no. I mean, literally, I was way in the woods, in the middle of nowhere. And precision medicine is here. Our team, so this is this biological technology office, designed the genetic codes that would be needed to reprogram a yeast. And that is such a different idea about how to revolutionize the way we build compounds. This program set out to produce 1,000 new molecules throughout the duration of the program, which has still 3 years left in it. And the teams are well on their way. And I believe that they have produced close to 100 new compounds already using these new pathways in yeast. It's about thinking about biology and then marrying it with engineering tools and then using those two components to design something. It's so frightening. So you are in the early days of building compounds to spec? The interviewer asks. Well, yes, we are. They are on milligram quantities of these new compounds, but ultimately, throughout the course of the program, they are scaling up to kilograms. Guys, this is very much like that desktop manufacturing that Eric Drexler talked about, the father of nanotechnology. Not only do we have little nanobots delivering chemotherapy drugs in legions now, but we're reprogramming cells. And remember, we spent a whole lot of time looking at that and some of the new programming languages that they literally are reprogramming living cells with, just like little computers. And they are now utilizing these cells to act like little factories. They, like they said, they could take sugar and use that as a fuel and then change some genetic traits within the bacteria or the yeast to get them to produce things that they normally wouldn't produce. New materials that they don't now have to manufacture in a lab. They could just do it in a yeast. If we can design these entirely different foundries for building these compounds, we think we could revolutionize how we think about drug development and also about non-medical approaches, because this is a platform technology. And remember, too, we talked about the shape-shifting houses and the shape-shifting matter. Well, that's all related to some of these projects. They want to use living organisms to build things. Things that can not only create on the fly using substances in our environments, but also we're talking about the living structures. They want to be able to use senses such as being able to detect heat or cold as like real time living monitors to be able to adjust to environments. You know, oh, your house is cold. Turn up the body temperature. I mean, this is just complete utter insanity that we are talking about in 2017 is the opening of all the Pandora's boxes. It's all been normalized now. We have all these bills passed. We're going to have the confusion of the changing of the guards. And while we are all discombobulated, as that's all going on, for the next year or two, it'll be like a freaking reality TV circus out there. All of this will be going on in the background. And healthcare will be rolling out, and costs are going to go down, and little Johnny's going to get some nanobots. And I know you guys, I don't know, you guys probably don't think I'm crazy anymore. Friends and family still do. They think I worry too much about this, but we've watched every step of this over the last, now, let's see, 2011 to 2017. We're on 6 years of this. Every step of the rollout. And it is absolutely the year that they are going to set this all free. Depending on what compound you are interested in, maybe some for medical uses or maybe some that are for building a new material, like something more robust than the elements, there are lots and lots of possibilities. Well, the interviewer asks, how will the new president-elect, ding, ding, and the Republican-dominated Congress affect your work? Well, don't worry about that. We usually don't get in the middle of those kinds of things. The thing that I always like to emphasize, says the guy in charge of the BTO, is that our mission at DARPA remains the same no matter what the political climate is. Our mission is about breakthrough technologies for national security. And it is our job and our role to think well ahead of what others in the world are thinking for science and technology. And I think that mission transcends the vast political landscape that is out there. We have a very focused mission and are trying to keep our country safe. Yes, and you and Nana and Johnny. So we are sticking to that mission no matter what happens, not only in this election cycle, but in future election cycles. So how does that make you feel? Doesn't matter who's going to take that throne. We're not stopping. Wink. We are going to create life on the fly by pushing a button, all in the name of national security. So, what project, asks the interviewer, at the Biological Technologies Office are you most excited for in 2017? Well, let's find out. He says, well, it's like your kids. You can't have just one favorite. I have multiple favorites. Let me share a few that will be really important to address in 2017. Oh, the first is an area we call shape-shifting immune system. That's what I call it. But they call it, quote, outpacing infectious disease, unquote. Our current approach, wherever a new pathogen hits our shores, is that everybody scrambles and we want to get ahead of any pathogen that may hit our shores and be as ambitious as possible. So as we can take pandemics off the table, well, don't worry about that because we've been working on something. We have pioneered new work in DNA and RNA approaches to immunization, wink. Specifically, it's called genetic modification of humans, but hey, specifically, we are thinking about nucleic acid approaches to immunization. The idea is that you can tell your cells that to produce antibodies with what the right code is for producing these antibodies that would be effective against a pathogen. So you would get a shot, but that shot would have a code to tell your cells how to respond to that pathogen. And what that would lead to is a near instantaneous immunity against any pathogen and gives you an ability to really fight against it. Guys, shape-shifting immune system, we've read all about it. They're going to genetically modify us to be able to respond on the fly to any known or unknown pathogen out there. He says, if you contrast that against the traditional ways we think about infectious disease, yes, where it takes months and years of eggs and growing, and maybe you hit it, maybe you don't. Where it takes months, if not years, even says it, to not only identify the pathogen, but to go through a long manufacturing process to produce vaccines with big bioreactors and so on. The current process is far too slow for the kinds of threats that are ultimately coming to our country. Ah! I mean, do you hear the way they're setting us up? Look out, people. Last 16 years, they pushed it. They pushed the bioterror mantra. They pushed the Project BioShield and all those experimental drugs. And, oh, my God, it didn't work. We had H1N1, bird flu, dog flu, swine flu, all this other stuff, and people weren't biting. They just weren't. Now, we're going to have a new way. You know what? We're going to have a real pandemic, and we're going to have to pull out all the stops and declare an emergency. But don't worry about it, because we got this newfangled vaccine. We'll only have to inoculate you once. And your body will be able to shapeshift its immune system to any known and unknown pathogen. And we'll be all safe there, little Susie. Just step right up. Come to the high school in your neighborhood. We'll have untrained professionals giving you those injections. We've taken a radically different approach to develop this fundamental technology to have DNA and RNA-based approaches to fight infectious diseases. And we are hoping to have some really big announcements about that in 2017. Yeah, step right up. This is horrifying. Well, the interviewer asks, what kind of announcements? Well, we are already getting some really good results in mouse models, indicating that nucleic acid approaches are working very well, and we are starting down that road now of doing some safety work in humans. Yes, now that pesky FDA has been shooed out of the way. And those are the early research steps. We have every intention in this coming year of building new programs for this new end-to-end platform, and we look forward to making some big announcements about how we are working in this space in 2017 that show that this is just not an aspiration. It is something that we are going after at the Biological Technology Office. And if we are successful here, I think it will change the whole game about how we think about infectious disease. Guys, all in the name of national security. I can see it already, since that's everything DARPA does. Step right up. This is the original Blue Angel program from 2006, except we've gotten it to the point where we just aren't running after a universal flu vaccine. Oh, no, no, no. And we are creating a synthetic immune system that goes in and genetically modifies its host so that anything that they get exposed to, entire body will be able to mount an attack. It's frightening. They're doing the same thing with the antivirus. We talked about that. That was the Cyber Grand Challenge. Shape-shifting antiviruses and anti-hacking. Well, they're going to do it for our bodies as well. So in the past few years, then, there has been a lot of buzz around brain control prosthetics and exoskeletons. How does the BTO fit into that space? Well, we know, right? DARPA has done tons with implants, and we read a whole bunch of stories last week. There's all kinds of new implants. I think the one we read about for the brain-computer interface from DARPA was called a Stentrode, if you remember, a little corkscrew. And they do it just like when they're getting a blood clot out of an artery. They do that little cork, pull it out. Well, this, they do opposite. They send it right up. I don't know if it's through the groin or right through the shoulder blade or maybe in the artery there underneath your collarbone. But they just put it on a little, probably a little fiber optic wire, bzoop, right up into that carotid artery. And then I don't know if it goes up higher in the brain or whatever, but they were already messing around with that Stentrode to do brain-computer interfaces. I don't think we're going to get there today, but I still have all these stories queued up, and we are going to now roll this DARPA brain mad science gun mad. We're going to cut back over to some new brain AI stuff that they've been working on, maybe tomorrow. But anyway, so how does brain-controlled prosthetics and exoskeletons fit into the biological technologies office? Well, we are very heavily invested in this area. And we just had a small ceremony at the Walter Reed Center where we delivered the first two commercially available Luke prosthetics, and I think they mean Luke from Star Wars, arms, which are the world's most advanced prosthetic limbs. And if I am not mistaken, these are ones where he can feel as well as control it with his mind. We work so hard on research, he says, but to see it going to the veterans, that's really great, he says. And while that's a step in brain-controlled prosthetics, we don't stop there. Don't forget the veterans. The veterans are the ones who are the first level in guinea pigness for DARPA. DARPA uses any malady or ailment or injury on the battlefield to justify some of these moonshots that they work on. I mean, I'm not saying that if someone's had their limb blown off that they wouldn't want to try to feel as normal as possible and have something that was as least cumbersome as possible to gain back their functionality. But on the other hand, we've seen time and time and time again how DARPA uses the crisis to their own advantage. It's how they get their funding. It's how they grow these programs so they can roll them out en masse. We saw just recently, too, good old Watson, IBM Watson. And by the way, IBM's 5 for 5 came out. It's something when I worked in technology for many years, every year I'd watch IBM's 5 for 5. And when Bill Gates was still at the helm of Microsoft, Bill Gates used to give his yearly speech about what he expects in the future. Those were two must listens. And maybe we will look at that 5 for 5 from IBM tomorrow. I don't know if Bill Gates still does his yearly address. We should see. But they are always very prophetic. Because don't forget, we now do have corporatocracy that is steering the ship here. And now more so than ever, every single one of these tech companies and all these tech billionaires are in bed with all these same guys, including biopharma and DARPA and all of our lawmakers who are invested. It is one big happy orgy now, guys, and they are all steering the ship. You, me, Nana, Johnny, Susie, we are all the Petri dish lab animals. And 2017 is the year that they are going to just let this all go on the world and see if they can make it a wink better place as they control and create a world in their own image. So what sort of applications are you thinking about for healthy, non-injured people to use in everyday applications? Well, don't worry about it. I am really intrigued by using neural technology to change how we interact with each other. Now, this is some of this weirdo stuff that we were talking about all last week, being able to communicate without words wirelessly to each other. Wireless, being able to read emotions, being able to suck thoughts out of your head, read your dreams, monitor your neural signals, tell whether or not you're lying by your micro expressions. Hey, AI is helping all that along. But he says, I'm really intrigued by using neural technologies to change how we interact with each other, as well as how we communicate with each other, and even maybe how we make decisions. Ding. Remember, humans are puny because they have emotions, and our decisions are influenced by those emotions. And sometimes, I've read a whole bunch of studies on it, sometimes humans make bad decisions because it's in the heat of the moment. So those puny humans should not be allowed to make decisions. Maybe we should leave it up to the all-seeing, all-knowing oracle called Skynet that we are creating as well. And guys, this is all I can think, because they are becoming more and more invasive. They want to flip switches in your DNA. They want to get in your brain. They're calling it cognitive assistance. Cognitive assistance in 2017. There are a whole host of ideas about how we could help a variety of people. All that invasiveness is just a wet dream. These doors are just opening to think about these kinds of concepts and to think about technology today to go down that road. Well, DARPA, the interviewer asks, has often operated without a lot of public exposure about its projects, right? Down that deep, long, dark hall behind the scary door with bloody handprints. But don't worry about it. How do you see that model now fitting in with reality, that a lot of the medical work your office does would potentially affect or benefit American civilians at large? Well, DARPA says, yeah, civilians, that's you and me and Nana and Susie and Johnny and maybe even Spot. At DARPA, we love sharing our vision with the world. I'm sure you do. And we like working extremely hard and diligently below the radar. Ding, ding, ding. 2017 just gave them $611 billion for Department of Defense to make sure that we are delivering upon our promises. And when things are right, we share them with the world. And one of the ideas that we have been very out in the media is our work on what? Oh, yes, ding-a-ling, the Brain Initiative. Ding! Guys, you're starting to see a pattern here, right? All this disruptive craziness that we have talked about for years on end are all projects that DARPA is working religiously on. And these guys are not tinfoil hat-wearing lunatics. These guys are mad scientists with human subjects to work on and a big, fat, huge budget to fund it. And I got my dad this weekend to watch a documentary that I found on Paperclip and Von Braun and bringing them here after World War II and even the Japanese Unit 731, all about human experimentation and some of the different divisions and departments that these people were inserted into in the United States military program after the war. And it became very apparent to me that all those little scabs that I picked at about Paperclip and where all these Nazi scientists ended up was not fantasy. These people, this whole lack of ethics and morals, mad science gone mad, was implanted. And I don't know. I'm sure that we didn't have very good ethics before the Nazis came, but it sure as hell didn't help. And these mad science victories have been spinning quietly down dark hallways, all in the name of national defense, including our biowarfare program that was being maintained in the name of vaccines and keeping us safe in a defensive posture. So one of the areas that DARPA has been very out in the media about is their work on the Brain Initiative. Well, thank goodness. This was an area where Obama set the challenge for our country. Remember, Obama came out and announced we were getting full on board with this Brain Initiative. And for the past couple years, we've been working not only to improve our technology within the Brain Initiative, but also working with other federal agencies like WHO, the National Institute of Health, and the National Science Foundation. We talked about them, to name a few, and share our results internationally so that other scientists and medical professionals could use this information that is coming out to accelerate, ultimately, what we are doing as the body snatchers. That's what this is. Invasion of the body snatchers. We want to accelerate and democratize it all. Send it out to the world so then there is no escaping it. There is no safe place. This has been rolled out to everybody, and you're going to conform or you're going to die. I think that that's what it's going to come to. You know what? With that shape-shifting immune system, I've already had a really few scary flashbacks. You know what? Step right up and get it, because we're going to release something that there is no cure for and your body will never be able to respond to because it's superhuman, synthetic, whatever. But hey, you step right up and get this injection, this shape-shifting genetic modification of humans injection that we talked about, and hey, everyone will be saved. You're going to get the mark. You better step up, because your choice is to either step up and get this and live or die. And I really think that at some point in the future, they might actually push that. Put the pedal to the metal at 180 and head toward the cliff. You can either jump with a needle in your arm, or you could stay in the car and go right off the cliff. The other area, and you know, remember too, Obama passed this global health safety executive order back a few weeks ago. We're going to be able to monitor and respond to disease and pandemics globally, all in the name of keeping us safe. Don't think that that isn't going to play into some of these new fangled techs. We're going to be able to not only try it on our own people, but hey, maybe we'll get a chance to send troops to Africa and go shoot them all up with this new shape-shifting immune system as Ebola and all these other things come out of the fruit bat-laden trees and start mutating and morphing faster than we've ever seen, if you remember that last time. And oh, look, it lives in testicles and eyeballs after we cure it, too. We have to now try to stop the spread of the infection with some of our new toys that we created in the lab. So Africa would probably be a good one to try it out first. And then it'll come to the homeland. Guys, this isn't a joke. This is all for real. And this is being done at the highest levels of our military. This is their crazy office. This is the head of the BTO at DARPA, who's so excited about all these developments for 2017. The other area that we've been very open about in public is our infectious disease work. Oh, ding. And with every major milestone of testing a DNA or an RNA approach that we've made an announcement, and if one of the people we are funding gets additional funding from outside sources, we make an announcement as well. Recently, a DARPA-funded study published in the journal called Neuron concluded that they thought their deep brain stimulation, ding ding, failed to improve the memory. And if you remember, they were trying to do some sort of deep brain stimulation while they were teaching people to fly planes. They were showing them how a pilot flew. They put this thing on their head. They were zapping them while they were doing it and hoping that it would help open up their minds to just do a brain dump. But apparently, it actually worsened their memory. You would think electrical shocks to the brain, but hey, who am I? But a previous study a few years ago found the opposite.
the deep brain stimulation actually helped memory. So what does this mean for your office's work in this area? Well, don't worry about it. It means we're going to have lots more mad science. Neurotechnology, i.e. messing with the brain, is very big in our office. And we have made great strides on the medical side of things, showing direct neural interfaces, which are connections between the brain and devices like our neurostimulator, computers, or prosthetics. And we can restore movement, sensation, and health with neuropsychiatric disorders. Ding, 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 ding. Remember, good old Tommy Insel, former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, is now over at Google's Verily, working on diagnosing neuropsychiatric disorders and finding cures for them. Guys, this is big and ugly, and they are all going to team up on us. We are all going to be mentally ill. We are all going to be exposed to some disease. And all this shit is going to be launched on the American public. Mark my words. What's interesting with respect to this study that just came out is that a large portion of the people think that you can locate an important area of the brain and you can stimulate it and magically we get a response, but that is not the case. When you map out what's going on in the brain, we found that if you don't send out the right codes into the brain, you don't get a facilitation of memory. You get impairing of memory. And the flip story is that if you do send the right codes, you get a huge improvement in memory. Remember, they've been sucking out and replacing memories as well. So they're getting there. This program has also seen that sides of the work turn out. So when I take a step back from seeing all this and do an assessment, we have both sides of the coin. And I think it prompts deeper investigation for the next generation of brain exploration. Well, that should get you excited because that's where we're at 2017. All kinds of mental illness and brain diseases that we gotta fix. All right, guys, we will finish this tomorrow. Everyone have an awesome Tuesday.